Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Let me set the backstory for you briefly before we read the word. It was just after Jesus had left the earth. He said before he left to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Now imagine hearing that 2,000 years ago. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But then he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, now when you've received the Holy Spirit, you will have power to be my witnesses. So here were his instructions. Go into all the world, but not so fast. Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came, of course, on the day of Pentecost. And the church for the next 12 years, the early Christians stayed in Jerusalem. For the most part. After 10 or 12 years, something happened that changed the church, and it was persecution. One of the church's top leaders, whose name was Stephen, a godly man, was murdered. It was the beginning of persecution of the church. About that same time, one of the chiefest persecutors of the church, Saul, came on the scene. And he had legal authority by the Roman government to go into Christians' homes where they were worshiping and persecute, torture, even kill them. After Stephen, a godly man, had just been martyred for the gospel, and after Saul now was beginning to rise in his fame, we pick up in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Stephen had just been murdered. Verse 1 says, now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. That's important. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. In verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Those who were scattered because of persecution against the church in Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the word. And I want to talk this morning on this subject. The church has left the building. Jesus had given explicit instructions. I want you to take the gospel throughout the entire world, but only after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll have power to convince people all over the world who I am. And even after the Holy Spirit came, they stayed in Jerusalem. And it took persecution for them to scatter to the ends of the earth. The church was still at Jerusalem. The first century Christians had become comfortable and they were gathering together only. And God used persecution to propel his people into a dark world and be the light in a dark place. The believers in the early church needed a push to take the gospel from Jerusalem to the world. Now, God did not create the persecution. God is not the author of things like that. But our God is the best at taking something that's evil, getting so involved in it until he turns it around, and so much good can come out of an evil intention. Persecution against the church. It took that for them to scatter to the ends of the earth. Now, this past year has taken a toll on the way we do church, and it was probably necessary. Like the early first century Christians, Christians in our day have gotten comfortable gathering together, and it seems like the focus and the emphasis of everything we did was inside four walls for the most part. It was our programs, our outreaches. Now, we've always had a strong vision at this church to raise up generations here at home to reach the nations of the world. Our vision has been very clear almost from day one. And now look around, not just here. Thank God for those who are here. We have a good crowd that I'll have to say we're safe about it. If you're at home watching and wishing you were here, we have room for you. You'll be safe here. We sanitize everybody coming in. Nobody has to touch a door handle. The only thing you really have to touch is your seat, and we be sure it's good and sanitized before you sit on it. And we're distanced. Half of our chairs are taken out. The church has left the building. It took coronavirus to make it happen. God did not send this virus, but God is getting so involved in what was intended to be evil, and he's turning it around and scattering us to the ends of the earth. Just after the Soviet Union collapsed. And of course, I was one who went over in the early days with our bishop, Houston Miles. But a Russian pastor who had been an underground pastor, preaching and teaching God's word in secret in his home, said to an American pastor who was visiting, "The persecution that we've suffered has been what's kept us powerful." And we in the American church have no clue. No clue what persecution of Christians is all about, for the most part. God has been so good to us. But when the goodness of God is so obvious among his people, sometimes it leads to a comfort zone, and we forget what he told us to do, and that is to take the good news to the ends of the earth. And you'll do it with power, so much so that you'll be my witnesses, he said. A witness is someone who convinces another person of the truth, even though that person wasn't there, didn't see it, and doesn't know it yet. But if a witness does a good job, that person is convinced. Jesus gave us the authority to do that. I remember visiting Vietnam for a pastor's conference 18 years ago, and there were 300 underground pastors assembled for 3 days of a conference. And several of them there had spent 2 years in prison for preaching the gospel. And one of those Vietnamese pastors would be arrested, go to jail for 2 years, get out, and within a month be arrested again and go back for 2 years. And he had spent a total of 6 years in a Vietnamese jail for preaching. Religion has always tried to keep the church boxed inside four walls. But the word here in the New Testament, it says they were all scattered. The Christians were all scattered. Now, I'm not a scholar or a theologian. I have access to the same resource you do. And so lest you think I'm stretching it or telling a lie, I've got credentials here. I've got a reference you can check out just as easily as I did. It comes from Strong's Concordance, and it's the definition in the Greek language of the word scatter. The word scatter means to sow throughout. And listen to this, unbelievable. To distribute in foreign lands. I read that in Strong's Concordance. I thought, mama, that's the vision of the church, is to sow the seed throughout and to distribute good news even in foreign lands. It's Strong's Concordance number G1289. Just check it out to see if I'm not telling you the truth. Is that not amazing? And religion has always had a tendency to keep us satisfied with us inside a boxed room. And Jesus never intended it to be that way. This is the truth of the gospel and where we should be in our obedience to God. We gather like this to grow, and then we scatter to sow. And the church has left the building. Not just ours, and I'm great, we've got several dozen people here safely. Hello, I said safely. We're not wanting anybody to, get sick on our watch. We believe in faith and science. They don't have to be opposed to one another. In fact, if you have any tension working in your life, faith opposed to science, you don't know as much as you need to know about one or the other, or maybe both. That's where I am. Is that too hard, Dr. Osborne? Really? Okay, I don't want to be too hard up in here today. But we are taught together, and we're including those of you watching by live stream. You're connecting right now with us, or you will be when you're watching this later today or later this week. The church has left the building, and that's good news. We were told to do it. Now, we will always gather to grow. When we're in here, it's about worshiping Him, giving Him what He deserves, our highest praise and worship, and learning from His Word, being equipped by His Word and by His Spirit to sow His seed throughout the earth and even distribute it in foreign lands. We gather to grow, and then we scatter to sow. We've been better at gathering than we have scattering. The Bible says those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. The church has left the building. The salt is out of the shaker. And that's what God intended. Now listen, the Message translation says, forced to leave home base, the followers of Jesus all became missionaries. Forced to leave home base, the followers of Jesus all became missionaries. Hello. From this point on in the message, this morning, I'm going to say some things in general terms. But as I'm sharing, I believe many of you will hear specific instructions where you are right now in your life and in the call of God on your life. In fact, I believe many today will receive a commission and an ordination for ministry. The gift of God that's already deposited in you. Each of our gifts different than the other, but all given by the same Spirit. So listen, and you will hear words I do not say today. The Passion Translation says, although the believers were scattered by persecution, they preached the wonderful news of the Word. In reading Acts chapters 8 and 9 recently, it reminded me of a good movie. The movie shall remain nameless because a good movie to me may not be a good one to you. But here's what a good movie should be defined as. A good movie is a movie that you watch all the way through, and then the end is such a surprise, hopefully a pleasant surprise, but you never saw it coming. You never saw the end of that. That's a good movie now. Now, this is just my opinion on Hallmark movies. Now, I don't like Hallmark movies. My wife does. I indulge her. I even record them for her. Let her watch them at her leisure. But I don't like Hallmark movies because here's the way Hallmark movies are for me. The movie can start, and about 5 minutes in, I can tell Brenda, 5 minutes after the movie started, okay, she's going to leave him. She's going to hook up with him by the end of the movie. She's going to break up with him, and that's the one she's going to marry right there. That's always the way a Hallmark movie is. But now, a good movie, you don't see the end coming. And let me tell you how good the Word of God is. Let's look at the big picture here for a minute. Persecution causes the church to scatter. Verse 4 says, those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the gospel. And something so wonderful happened when the believers scattered, taking the good news with them, that 4 verses later, we didn't see this coming, but 4 verses later, in Acts 8:8, says there was great joy in that city. How quickly after we obey God and scatter and sow His word to the ends of the earth and be witnesses for Him, how quickly God gets involved after the scattering and touches a city. I mean, just 4 verses after they left Jerusalem, 4 verses later, an entire city, Samaria, was reached by Philip. So much so that there was great joy. And hello, the good news don't stop there. The very next chapter, chapter 9 of Acts, tells us that this evil man, Saul, had such an experience on the Damascus Road that Acts chapter 9 says Saul preached Christ to them. Is that not amazing? This is not a Hallmark movie, huh? I mean, we didn't see this happen. How quickly God can take those who scatter the seed of His word and change a city, change an evil man into, I mean, look at, he became the great apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This was after he was Osama bin Laden of his day. I mean, there's something that happens when God's people scatter. When they leave the building and get out there where real ministry. And I'm not advocating quitting church. Lord Jesus, I love church. But let's look around at reality. not just this church, but many, many, and most, and maybe all have been affected. Some have shut down completely. And that's not the end of the world when we see the bigger picture. And that is, Jesus said, get out of four walls anyway. And it's not just the pastor who's asked and expected to do it. It's every single believer that does the work of the ministry. So, in eight verses, just in eight verses, we went from the killing of a godly man to believers scattering and an entire city rejoicing greatly that the good news had reached them. Now, it's not easy to gather right now. Today, our church family is scattered. But what if persecution or even this virus, this pandemic, had happened 20 years ago? How pitiful. What if God is using this pandemic? No, I did not say he created it. I did not say he authored it. But what if he's using this pandemic to get us to scatter like we've never scattered before? And it's so easy today compared to even just 20 years ago, had it happened then. Churches have been shut down, but we are impacting the world virtually. If the devil thought he would stop the church early last year by sending this pandemic, he was wrong. The church has not been silenced. Our voice is louder than it's ever been. And the devil has created 75 million house churches in our nation in the last 10 months. Those members of our church that are not in the auditorium here with us, but you're worshiping from your home or wherever you happen to be right now, some of our church members are having family church. I won't call names, but I know of a couple who have told me our whole family gets together and watches every Sunday. We have worship and we have church in our home every Sunday. I've never been a fan of Facebook. And I'm not even going to tell you why. Maybe. But I will have to say my hat's off to Facebook. Facebook has been redeemed because Facebook and other social media have given us the platforms we need. When the church has left the building, now we can go to the ends of the earth with a push of a button and take the good news as we scatter all over the world. If this pandemic had happened 20 years ago, we would not have been able to do it. We would just have to wait it out. Just wait and hope and pray. We've done all of that too. But because of social media, our voices are still loud and clear. And let me just say, your social media is the perfect field for you to scatter seed. Lifeway Research, very reputable organization, just released a study that found Christians are being shaped more by social media than by their Bible. I'll give you two statistics, and I don't believe either one. I'm going to give them to you anyway, since Lifeway Research did it. Lifeway Research asked evangelical Christians, these are people who say, yes, I'm born again. Jesus is my Lord. How many of them read the Bible every day? And 32% said they did. 32% of evangelical Christians in America that say, I am born again. I believe that number's probably high. I believe that. Don't you know some of them stretched it? You ask 100 people, do you read your Bible every day? Oh. 32% said, yeah, but I believe some of them might not have been telling all the truth. They asked the same group, evangelical Christians, how many of you use Facebook every day? 66% said yes. I believe that number's low. I believe that's, neither one of them groups is telling it right. I believe more than that. But we have the tools, is what I'm saying. The church has left the building, and God can be in it all. Now, we will continue to gather. We gather to grow, but the reason we do is we scatter to sow His Word throughout the earth, and we have the tool to do it. Some of you are feeling a calling right now to a new method of reaching people with God's Word. It's different for each of us. I have my gift. You have your gift. None of us have the same gift. But all of us are in a better position than we may realize to scatter to the ends of the earth. I'll just mention a few. Miss Natalie B., who would be sitting right here on the Amen corner over here. She's watching probably right now from home, but she is our poet in residence. And she has a gift of writing poetry and other inspirations, and the pandemic did not silence her a bit. She's still writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, encouraging poems and other writings, publishing them on the internet, and even taking advantage of opportunities like writing letters to the editor of the local paper, being such an encouragement and a blessing, reflecting the love of God in every word she writes. One of our men, a faithful man in the church, Joseph Bull, while the pandemic was going on, he felt an inspiration to write kick in again. And even though there is a virus that has caused the church to leave the building, he wrote his second book and published it during this pandemic. It's called You're About to Do Great Things, Volume 2. His gift, making room for him, and God using it even during difficult times, and perhaps getting greater use out of it because the times are so difficult. Sister Pat Quillen. Sister Pat, holler out loud. Where are you? Well, that wasn't loud. Sister Pat Quillen, ministering to more people during the pandemic than ever before through the organization she founded, Caring Hearts of the PD. And one of the things she does is a daily inspiration, a daily devotion that she writes, does it almost every day, and she sends it out by email. There it is. I mean, free! I'm telling you, you have a gift. Figure out what it is and find out how to use it for free to scatter the word to the world. And here's the thing about Miss Pat. I read her devotion every day. It's in my inbox. And it's always a blessing, but a couple of years ago, I was in Latvia, and I'm not as young as I used to be. I know, hard to believe, but I used to could make that trip, never miss a wink of sleep, jet lag or anything. But as I've gotten, you know, adolescent, a little older, it's not so easy anymore. It's 36 hours from the time I leave one airport here and get to my last stop there. And I just had a hard time handling the jet lag a couple of years ago. Got to the hotel, and My body was on a different clock. Normally I can handle that well, but for some reason I couldn't get any sleep. And I went for more than 48 hours without any sleep, even though I had tried. And it became a spiritual battle for me. I mean, it's hard to stay up 48 hours at my young age. And I pray, Lord God, please help me get a good night's sleep. And I checked my email. That's beautiful. You can scatter yourself all over the world. And in my inbox that very hour was one of Pat Quillen's daily devotionals. I got it the same time on the other side of the world. Everybody here in our town got it. Free. Talk about how to scatter and sow throughout and distribute in foreign lands. And here was her devotion that day. The scripture was out of the Psalms. God gives his beloved sleep. You will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. I read that word. It ministered to me and I slept like a baby for the first time in 2 days and nights. Thank you again for putting me to sleep when I desperately Now, that's not my intention right now. If some of you are dozing off, I didn't intend that. But God bless you, Miss Pat Quillen, for exercising your gift and reaching the world. And God lets you do it free. Don't charge you anything to do it. I'm saying, if the church had been forced to leave the building 20 years ago, we wouldn't have had these resources. So I'm saying Facebook has been redeemed in my eyes. Lawrence Tuning, one of our leading men here, he for 50 years has been in ministry, pastoring a good bit in Massachusetts and then living in Florence for many years now and traveling all over the country in music ministry and preaching ministry. And when the pandemic hit, he had to cancel all of his concerts and his speaking engagements all over the country. So instead of poor old pitiful me, and that's easy for all of us, he started doing a weekly vlog, I guess you would call it, a video feed on his Facebook Thursday afternoons. And he does it from his grand piano here in Florence at his home, in his den, and he sits there with the phone turned on. And it's a live feed all over everywhere, has a lot of people receiving. He just sings and plays and shares story in the Word. He's done it every week. Because he was faithful in that, somebody in Ohio that works at a radio station watched his Facebook live stream every week and called him and said, Lawrence, we have a radio station up here, but more than that, we broadcast what goes over our air on the internet and everybody in the world has access to it. We want to give you an hour a week to do on our station here and on the internet what you do at your piano in your home every week. Listen, it's not a Hallmark movie where you know how it's going to wind. No. God does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even think, ask, or ever imagine when we scatter his word. Easier today than it's ever been. Also, I read a couple of others every day for my personal devotions. One is Shirley Weaver. She sends out a devotion every day. It has a prophetic tone to it. And it's in my inbox every morning. I read it. And she sends it about 3 or 4 in the morning every day. I wait a little bit, but I read it early in my day. And after doing that faithfully, it led to the publication of a great book that's like one of Amazon's top right now, called Running with Horses, Daily Devotions to Inspire Bold Confidence in God. I'm telling you, what started out as a little thing has turned into a great blessing. And then, of course, Rick Renner, my favorite. I just enjoy his teaching and his devotion every day. And I'm just saying, some of you have a gift, maybe to write, maybe not. Maybe it's something else. Jesus said this, whoever gives a cup of water in my name will not lose their reward. So I'm asking you this morning, what is your cup of water? What gift do you have that you can offer? Take it seriously, and scatter it to the ends of the earth. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, the body of Christ is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every part does its share, causing growth of the body. The body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. You are being held into the body not only by the love of God and the grace of God that brought you in, but you are being joined and knit together by what you bring to the body, by what you supply to the body. Every part does its share, causing growth of the body. And then, this is a simple one. It sounds complicated. If you're religious, it'll throw you off. But it's so simple. It's the gift of prophecy. The gift, and now there are two different categories of prophecy. There is the office of a prophet, and then there's the gift of the Spirit called prophecy. Two different things, two different categories. I'm not a prophet. Now, I don't want to be a prophet. A prophet, a man or a woman who stands in the office of the prophet, carries this responsibility. God says to them, you go before my people and you tell them, I said. I don't want to do that. That's the office of a prophet. I believe in that. They are part of the body, and they are real. And I'm grateful that they are alive today. But then separate from the office of a prophet, which speaks, yea, yea, thus saith the Lord, there is the gift of prophecy. It's one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God said in His Word that any of His people can do it as He wills. You don't have to be called to the office of a prophet to be able to prophesy by the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of us can as God wills. I think God's willing for more of us to do that. By definition, 1 Corinthians 14:3, and I'm closing with this, it defines the gift of prophecy. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Do you know anybody in your world, in your family, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, in your circle of friends that could use a little edification, could use an exhortation, and could use a little comfort? And do you ever sense that you are able, with God's help, to be able to strengthen and encourage and comfort somebody else? That's the Holy Spirit, and God is willing to use us. So I'm encouraging you. Now, if you can't write, and not everybody's called to write, but can you pick up the phone? Call one person. and edify them. Pray first. Get a leading on it. Get a word for them, maybe a verse of scripture. Nobody that I know of would be terribly upset to receive a call from somebody and the caller say, look, I just wanted to call you, let you know you were on my mind and in my heart today, and I'm praying for you, and I believe this scripture verse may be a blessing to you and minister edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, if anybody gets upset if you do that, just hang up on them. Now, I'm trying to close. There may be two reasons I go long today. One is Dr. Osborne brought me a cinnamon bun for breakfast here at the office this morning, and I may be on a sugar high. Sometimes it's hard to tell if it's anointing or a sugar high. But then another reason is I'm just having fun. So, but no, I'm wrapping it up really. But this past week, I received a card in the mail. Now, I'm not a needy person. I mean, God meets my needs. I'm blessed. I don't play the needy card. My faith is in God and Brenda, and they meet my needs. But even though I'm not a needy person, oh, of course I have needs. I'm so human. But without soliciting it, I got a card in the mail from one of you. And it was a card comforting me, letting me know they'd been praying for me since my pastor died the week before Christmas. And even though God had already healed me, I'm so thrilled for my pastor, our bishop. My, what a great life. You know, he's one of those rare men that could stand at heaven's gate and say to the Father the same thing Jesus said, Father, I've accomplished everything you sent me to do. And even though I was rejoicing for my pastor, I got a card that was the gift of prophecy for me. It edified me. It exhorted me, and it comforted me. And if it blesses me, don't you know it will bless others? It bless him for the Lord to use each of you. I'm believing ministries are being birthed this morning in our local church. The church has left the building, and we've been called to scatter, to sow his word throughout, and even distribute it in foreign lands. So I'm commissioning each of you to ministry. And I'm ordaining you. I'm not legally with a piece of paper. But the ordination of God is on your life. If you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, then you have the same calling that anyone else has, and that is to scatter his word to the ends of the earth. The church has left the building, and we're taking his word to the ends of the earth. Now, I'm going to close by reading what popped up in my inbox this morning. It came from YouVersion. Some of you are familiar with YouVersion. It's great. And it confirmed what I'm sharing this morning, talking about your social media. Now, I could get on a rant about social media, you know. But I'm praying redemption for Facebook because they allow us to use Facebook to take the gospel to the world, and they let us do it for free, so God bless that part of Facebook. Let me tell you what religious persecution would be, is if suddenly in a day, on a dime, Facebook shut every church and every Christian out of their platform, and we could no longer do what we're doing right now. That would be religious. So God bless Facebook for letting us use it to take the gospel around the world like we're doing today. It says it can be so tempting to curate our online presence to impress others. You ever been guilty of that on Facebook? Create your online presence to impress others. The nice meals we're enjoying, exotic places we're visiting, popular people we're spending time with. Those things are fine to share, but Jesus didn't say he would use our accomplishments to draw people to himself. He said it would be our love. This year, start making it a habit to regularly share his transforming love, even if you have to start small. It won't be long before your friends start telling you how much they appreciate your encouragement. So God bless you as you accept a higher call to ministry and scatter his word to the ends of the earth. You have everything you need in this day to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen.